that we have washers, you know, clothes washers and dishwashers and dryers. 100 years ago, people, wow, amazing that everybody would have such things. It's a great thing. But if everything is going perfect, we are the kind of creatures who make our own situation depressing by arguing about something. If everything's going perfect, we'll argue about the color of the carpet. We don't need much excuse at all to kind of wreck a good thing. We cannot ever match the glory of the past. Our parents will always tell us, well, it used to be thus and so, and it was great. And God tells us, you are moving towards a greater glory. So don't live in the past. Old story. Pastor with two elders goes to visit the oldest member of their congregation who's in a nursing home, and his name is Jim. And one of the elders says to Jim, Jim, now tell us how it was when you were young. Tell us how this ought to be. We always sat in our church, we always sat for the Lord's Prayer, didn't we? Nope. Huh. So the other elder says to him, right, we always stood, didn't we? Nope. So the pastor finally says, Jim, will you just tell us one way or another? Because right now, half the people stand and half the people sit when we're saying the Lord's Prayer. They're making faces at each other and rude remarks. And Jim got a smile on his face and he said, that's exactly how it was. Always like that. That was the problem with Jesus. This is the Son of God. He's a construction worker already. Where's the glory in that? He was born in a cave with farm animals. Where's the glory in that? You see, and he was born into poverty. Where's the glory? Well, it's always like that. A generation ago, this room was built. And it is a glorious room. I like it very much. It's made for making musical sounds in, and it does that well. But our facility has lost some of its glory over time. And the world would say, well, you've got to pay attention. You know, you've got to show something on the outside. So if I could ask the question, you know, how is your temple? Well, what do you mean by that? Read in the New Covenant. Your individual self is the temple of God. The Holy Spirit indwells you. It also says, even in the same letter, that all of us together, we are the building of God. We are the temple of God. We are the living stones in the walls that make up the temple of God. It's us. God has taken up residence in and among his people. Do you know that the Holy Spirit lives in you? Does that make a difference to you? Are you trying to be quiet enough to listen to him? Is he getting through? Are you able to see sometimes, stop all the distractions long enough to see some of the layers peel back and begin to get glimpses of that place? Right next to us. They tell us in the science department that 95% or so of this is just space. It's not solid stuff. God tells us that, you know, we saw it with the risen Lord Jesus. You can move through stuff like this if you are in that place and you are more real than this is. This won't last forever. What God makes in those places lasts forever. The Holy Spirit in us, individually and all together. We cannot let ourselves get caught up in living in the past, whether it's styles of clothes, styles of music, styles of whatever. God says, get on, move on to the glory that is before you. So what is God's message? What do we say? God is moving us towards His glory, so what? So the scripture says, be strong now. That's what the Lord said to those people who were standing in and amongst this heap of stones that they needed to make back into some kind of a temple. Be strong now. Even though you can't access the glory of the past anymore, you can't go home. We feel that way a lot, Anna and I. We've moved around. We both grew up in military families. We were in the military. And my mother has just moved out of the house where she's lived for over 50 years. And it feels very strange. But it just hits us over and again. You're not really citizens here. Your home is elsewhere. So be strong now. In their life, in this, they never knew who Solomon was. He was there centuries before. And they're not going to get to meet in their lifetime the coming king, the Lord Jesus. And they might not have been impressed with him anyway. I mean, he just did miracles and stuff, but he didn't take over the government or anything. But he's saying that God is the same as when he brought you out of Egypt. It's the same God who parted the Red Sea, the same God who protected you under the blood of the Lamb from losing your firstborn, the same God that spoke to you from Mount Sinai. He is here right now in this heap of rubble, and he is here for us right now in this time when we're a little shaken up. As Dave reminded us from this summer, from the losses we have experienced this summer. But it is the same God. Even if he's working differently, even if it looks different and feels different, sounds different, God lived in a tent when they were all living in tents. The Gospel of John starts out and says that Jesus tented with us. He came in, and that's the New Testament picture for these bodies we live in. These are tents, tattered old tents. Some of you have new, young, wonderful tents. They get old and tattered after a while. And the scripture says we look forward to a permanent home in that place of God's glory. But they knew of the glory of the city of David, but now they've got a heap of rubble. It's not going to be as good as the old temple. It's not going to look as good to their eyes. But the spirit that indwells that place is the same. The spirit that indwells us is the same spirit. And they are coming. Every day we come, every day we live, we are getting closer and closer to the glory of the Messiah, to his returning to us, for us returning to him. So we are coming. We are approaching his glory. He says, be strong now. Trust me. Do the work that I've called you to do right now, because I am with you. That's his message to us. So what do we do today? Well, we've got sign-up sheets out there. We've got small groups happening. We've got men's ministry happening. We've got a pledge campaign going to renovate this building that we've been blessed with. And there's a chart out there. About 19 of our families have made a pledge already, and that's covered us almost a third of the way that we need to go. But we need to be strong now. We need to do this thing now. We need to sign up for a potluck dish for next week for the harvest. That's what's right in front of them. Well, that doesn't sound very glorious. It's exactly what God is asking us to do now. And he's saying, be strong about this right now. Where are you at with this? Where are you at with, is it just the same old stuff? Or are you saying, God, show yourself to me. Show yourself. Are you ready to see where he is taking us? Are you ready to see, along with everyone else here? We're all on the same journey together. And this isn't just getting psyched up for something. This is about getting real, seeing reality in the midst of all the stuff that's coming at us all the time. All the so-called news and all the entertainment, everything that's just blasting at us constantly. Can we get outside that for a time? And look at the reality. God says, I expect you to be strong now, to have faith, to trust me that I am here, that we are in his presence right now. Can you stop everything in your life to acknowledge him? Starts by just having come here today. It's very good that you have and that we all have. There is nowhere else that we have to be. There is nothing else that we have to do except be in his presence. Is that great? For all that's losing track in our life, all the things we're getting behind on, we think, God says, why don't you just be with me? Why don't you just be with me? And I'll remind you of what you're here for. And so, even yet, as we meditate on future glory, God says, get something in your hand. Get a hammer. Get a paintbrush. Get a pan to cook with. Get a pen to write a pledge in your hand. That's what we're here for. Show my glory by caring for those who cannot yet see me. Show them what it looks like. So they may just need to see that we care enough about the world around us to make a safe, warm environment for their kids when they come in these doors. Comes to that. So be strong now. God is moving us towards his glory. So finally this, the writer, the prophet says, look for the new glory. Get your eyes up to the horizon. And be careful what you focus on. You know, the next temple, they built this temple. They reconstructed it. And the old people that had seen the great one before, they cried when they saw it. And other people were shouting, hallelujah, we have a place of worship. And this place was going to look even better by the time Jesus walked on earth. Because Herod, horrible Herod, was going to put a lot of money into this temple because he wanted the political influence with these people. God didn't care one bit. God, the man, Jesus, said, tear down this temple and in 3 days I will raise it. He was the presence of God. And so the future is about the building, the place that God resides as a place of glory, the temple as a place of glory, and the temple as a place that provides peace. That's what he said he's going to do. I'm going to give you peace. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, and in this place I will grant peace. Do you have peace in your heart? That's really the question that's being asked here. Are you willing to put your hands to the plow, to do the work now, trusting and knowing and having the peace that God is bringing you to a great and glorious place? He said, I'm going to shake the earth. When Jesus, the Messiah, was on the cross and when he gave up his life, gave up his spirit, it says the place shook and the curtain was torn in the temple on the way into the innermost place. And God, a few short weeks later, the risen Jesus, having gone back and to reside at the right hand of the Father, God sent His Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost on the believers there, and the harvest began then. God has been bringing people into His kingdom ever since. And it is a great harvest that He has brought and continues to bring. And we are part of that. We are the building. We are the place where God brings His peace. Are we willing to let God bring His peace to us? And then one day we will surround the throne in that city that needs no sun or moon, but has God Himself. That is not a temporary glory anymore. It is an eternal glory. Are you ready to be part of that walk? That walk towards God's light? Is that something you have taken on for yourself? Have you said yes to Jesus? Have you said, yes, I want His Holy Spirit in me? Yes, I want to be part of this community of believers who are indwelt by God Himself as we walk together. Are you ready to do that? Let's pray. Let's go before God Himself. Lord, You know our hearts. You know what we have inside of us. We ask today that You would help us to not look at the past, to not live there all the time, but rather look at the present and look at the future, to be strong in the current circumstance, knowing that we are moving from glory to glory, a greater glory, a more permanent one as we go. Lord, I pray that anyone here today who is ready to say yes to You, that they would pray right now, Lord, I want You to be in my life. I want You to forgive my sins. I want You to live in me. It doesn't even seem possible, Lord, that You could forgive all the things I have done. And yet, You are God of all heaven and earth, and You are quite able to do that through the blood of Jesus. And that You are able, because You were raised from the dead, You conquered death, and You made a hole in that wall, and I can follow You right through it. I can go out of this life and move into that life that is just the beginning of what You have for me. Lord, hear the prayers of those who would say yes to You this morning, and thank You that they would come and that You would rejoice that they are children who have come home. Thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.